Everyone's not waiting until December 15th. The lid is off in many places, with the downfall of Prohibition being celebrated in real old-time hilarity. Yes, and by the renewal of old acquaintance. Hotels and nightclubs report a real pre-war spirit among those revelers.
Welcome back to Napalm Nanny in the Shack. I am your host, the one, the only Napalm Nanny. And whether you drink scotch, vodka, beer, wine, or moonshine, it all has been banned in the States due to the 18th Amendment and enforced with the Volstead Act. And synonymous with Prohibition is a mobster, Al Capone. And Capone was Johnny Torrio's protege, which Torrio kept a fragile peace between his Italian-run bootlegging operation in Chicago's South Side and the Irish and Polish gangs in the North. But by the time Capone took over, there was an all-out turf war, and this led to the infamous St. Valentine's Day massacre on February 14, 1929. As Capone was looking to consolidate control by eliminating his rivals in the only way mobsters knew how, the bloody climax that took place in a garage on the north side sent a clear message to Capone's longtime enemy, Irish gangster George Bugs Moran. Though it is believed that several of Capone's men dressed as police officers arrived at 2122 North Clark Street to find seven of Moran's men running the operation. And then the seven men were then lined against the wall where 70 rounds of ammunition were fired. And although the massacre remains unsolved, it is largely credited as Capone's doing. And Moran just barely escaped the slaughter that evening as he was on his way to the garage, but arrived minutes after. And he shared with reporters days later, "Only Capone kills like that." Capone, on the other hand, had a differing opinion, quoting, "The only man who kills like that is Bugs Moran." But it was well known that Capone was ruthless in his dealings and left his bloody signature throughout Chicago. And despite a reputation like that, the only reason he was sent up the river was for tax evasion charges. But he still lived in luxury despite being locked up in Alcatraz. And with that being said, here's some tunes to enjoy your favorite poison with. Enjoy!
You went away and left me lonely. You went away and left me blue. And now you're back to say you're sorry. Well, got news for you. You're a little too late. This is all I've got to say. You're a little too late. Hey, hey, so you'd better be on your way. You, you're a little too late. This is all I've got to say. You're a little too late. Hey, hey, so you'd better be on your way.
Thank you. what a mess. Well, I know she's having fun, but for me there just ain't none. I don't mean maybe baby's driving me crazy, cause I feel like I wanna get my gun. I feel like I wanna shoot myself, cause baby went and found somebody else. There will come a day, baby, you will have to pay, cause you can't do what you did and get away. Oh, what a mess.
Mobsters were not the only group to flourish under Prohibition. As I've mentioned in a previous episode, the Ku Klux Klan saw a boom in new members, and as Lisa McGurr, historian and author to The War on Alcohol, Prohibition, and the Rise of American State, noted how the Klan recruited members, she shares, "It was often around the issues of bootlegging, of cleaning up communities. The issue was used instrumentally as a mandate to target those groups they already saw as enemies of white Protestant nationalism, immigrants, Catholics, and African Americans. And the Klan's support for Prohibition gave them an opportunity to perpetrate state-sanctioned violence against minorities while uniting them with federal agents and law enforcement. And they sold themselves to the people as a law enforcement organization that can do what the government couldn't, such as stopping Catholic immigrants from supposedly violating the law. And one Catholic in particular, Nelson Burroughs, a bishop, was kidnapped by the Klan and held captive for 17 days, where the kidnappers branded the letter K on his chest and forehead while attempting to get him to renounce his Catholic faith. So there was an overlap between new members and those that supported Prohibition. McGurr shares, "The WCTU, Women's Christian Temperance Union, the Anti-Saloon League, and the Klan were definitely not one and the same, but there was a lot of overlap in their goals. There was a lot of overlap in their ideology, and there was a lot of overlap in terms of their support for their activities in the 1920s. And one of the primary ways that women came into the Klan in a place like Indiana, where the Klan had a lot of power, was through the WCTU. And with that bit of history out of the way, here's the rest of the playlist. Enjoy.
Oh, a saint. I collect little girls like some do stamps. When it comes to breaking hearts, man, I'm the champ. Just like a spider lures the fly. If you fall into my web, you're gonna cry. Hey, hey, little girl, don't you mess with me, cause I'm just a sinner, not a saint. Oh, yeah. Saint. It's true, I'm a sinner. In my book, that's a winner. I live by my golden rule. For me, there's nothing better. I follow to the letter. That's a do unto others, for they do it to you. If you come a knocking at my door, I don't say that you didn't know the score. Don't care to be called what I ain't. I'll confess I'm a sinner, not a saint.
Almost at that year mark, and I'm honestly honored and humbled by everyone's support. So thank you all for spending time with me on this journey. And if you want a behind-the-scenes look to this little fiasco, find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and my blog on WordPress under Napalm Nanny in the Shack. And I wish I was joking about the whole fiasco thing. This show is held together by a prayer, whiskey, and insanity. So, till next week, I am your blind host, the one, the only Napalm Nanny. Stay safe out there, guys.